Hi, this is Women Who Travel, a podcast from Condé Nast Traveler. I'm Lale Arakoglu, and with me, as always, is my co-host Meredith Carey.
Hi, everyone.
And today we have Megan Spurrell, our community editor.
Hello.
Hi. And Sarah Khan, who writes, edits for us, travels the world on our behalf, who is actually in the studio with us today.
Yay.
If you're a regular Travelog listener, you will definitely recognize Sarah's voice. She usually pops on, but is always on Skype. And so she's been in the office for a while, and it's very exciting to have her here.
Exciting to be here.
So this week we're talking about something that kind of came out of a recent editor's letter for our most recent issue of the print magazine, in which Pilar Guzman, our editor-in-chief, was talking to a friend who did one of those things that I think we've all experienced, which is a friend of hers was like, help me plan this trip. And of course you oblige. And she had this idea for going on this trip with her kids. And as they were talking about the trip, it came out that maybe what she actually wanted was kind of this like fantasy, eat, pray, love experience, which is a little hard when you have two teenage boys hanging out with you. And so that like fantasy trip had to get kind of readjusted, because if Pilar had helped her plan this dream trip, it was kind of setting everybody, including her kids, up for disappointment, because you can't really ever live up to that dream experience. So going in the opposite direction of that, Lale and I decided we wanted to hear both from the Facebook group and from these lovely ladies kind of what places they had gone with zero expectations or with kind of low expectations that ended up becoming kind of that like perfect fantasy trip without any kind of predestined decision to make it that.
And maybe it wasn't perfect, but it was memorable and better than the so-called perfect ones you'd try to take.
Exactly. And Megan, you have talked about Paraguay before and how this trip, because of the people you were with, kind of turned into this magical memory.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, I feel like I go into a lot of different places with, you know, an open mind. I try not to set myself up for being disappointed, because we've all done that. And I took a trip where I was traveling by land from Rio de Janeiro to Lima. And my first stop outside of Brazil was Paraguay. And I just thought, okay, well, it's on the way. Might as well go, like, see somewhere different. And yeah, it was really interesting. Like, I didn't expect anything. I didn't know anything about it. Met up with some friends and friends of friends. And I tried all these incredible foods that I'd never had. I tried like just these, this thing called mbeju, which is like a manioc flour pancake covered in melted cheese. And I was like, why is the cheese in Paraguay so good? Why does no one talk about that? But I had this really special time that was surrounded a lot, or formed a lot around people and food, and I couldn't believe I'd never heard of any of the dishes I was eating or the places I was seeing. And I don't know, that was one of my first trips where I was like, wow, I can't believe I had no expectations and had such an incredible time.
I feel like a lot of the places that were mentioned in the, if you aren't a member of the Facebook group, Megan had posted about this podcast asking kind of like, what are the places that have surprised you? And I think a lot of people were talking about this kind of like transit, like it was never intentional. They weren't like planning to go there. It was just part of like an existing journey or somewhere that a friend had wanted to go, or kind of something that happened on accident.
Yeah, well, we actually presented this question to our Facebook group, which we do before a lot of the podcast episodes, to try and hear what everyone else has to say. And like always, it was really like kind of kicked off the conversation for us. And someone named Lauren actually talked about being surprised by Berlin. And it was interesting because I love Berlin. I think a lot of us in this room think Berlin's incredible. I always knew it was incredible. And then I got there and it was incredible. And she talked about how she went to study abroad and she applied for the Munich program and was eventually chosen for the Berlin program and was really disappointed because she had this idea of Germany as this, you know, Bavarian utopia where everyone is at long tables drinking beer together and all the buildings look like fairy tale castles. And she talks about getting chosen for Berlin, being really disappointed, deciding to go, and then realizing that Berlin has such a rich history in a very different way. And it was just interesting to hear that take on it. And I think that's the epitome of what we're talking about. You know, usually it's those places that you think are second fiddle to somewhere you actually want to go, and they end up far overshadowing the place that you first thought of.
Well, I think it's also like with travel, you try to, when you're planning a trip or you're going to study abroad or whatever it is, like you want to control all of it. With me, it's like down to the restaurants I eat every day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but I want everything to be an incredible experience, and it's obviously never going to be. All the places that you think are going to be incredible end up being like a complete disappointment. So I think it is that kind of like mentality of just like letting go a little bit and like giving yourself up to chance, which is kind of what she was forced to do. And I don't know, I think that's like what makes travel great, kind of in a nutshell.
Well, and I think something else that I noticed in a lot of the comments was people saying, you know, they were going somewhere with a friend and they had their list of, okay, we're going to Thailand and I want to go here, here, here. And then their friend has two other places and they kind of, you meet somewhere in the middle where you go some of the places you both want to go and then a few places that only one of you wants to go. And everyone talked about those being the really special places. And like that also, I just thought of all the trips I've planned with friends where I feel like very rigid on like, no, these are the places I've heard are the best. Like, I don't want to go anywhere lame. Like, I only want to go to the best places.
I don't want to go anywhere like, lame.
I don't want to waste my time. And then like,
you sound fun.
Yeah, right? And then you're like, oh, fine, I'll do it. And you get there and you're like, oh, okay. That's
maybe someone
great.
Else does know a few things about travel. It,
you know, like, I do that with my family a lot. Sorry to my sisters. But it's that. And then you're like, why am I trying to plan it all? And how could I possibly think I'd know the best places before having been there? And, you know, it is letting go and like letting someone else take the reins a little.
Well, I feel like, Sarah, like most of the trips that I see on your Instagram are for stories that you're doing. So mm-hmm. like naturally have a purpose and are like probably fairly planned out so that you can get the story that mm-hmm. you're looking for. But are there any places in those journeys that you've been like, oh, wow, this was like not why I was coming here and it's the best part of it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also really funny. I'm sure all of us can relate. When you're in this line of work, people keep asking you, what's the best place you've ever been? And I hate that question. So how I've started answering is, what's the most unexpected place I've ever been? And I think one thing that really surprised me, and obviously I pitched it, so I was going there for a few specific things, but I was going to the Baltics. And I started in Estonia and road trip through Latvia and Lithuania. And I knew a couple of things I definitely wanted to see that were planned for the story. And everything else I was just sort of fitting in along the way. And I feel like the entire trip was such a revelation. I wasn't expecting the food to be anywhere near as good as it was. There were so many quirky little finds here and there. I think the only thing I'd known about Riga was an old friend in high school, like 20 years ago, had done a study abroad there and did not seem to describe it very nicely. And when I got there, I was like, okay, how do I find an apartment here? You know? So I think just along the way, and like Vilnius in Lithuania is just the quirkiest, most bohemian little place. And I feel like these are places that I hadn't seen any friends or family that I knew going, and I loved it, and I still to this day rave about that trip. And I just read the other day that Lithuania's new campaign is that it's a G-spot of Europe.
Oh, I mean, we all talked about it in the office, and it was, oh man.
I was like, okay, it's a little crazy.
It's a move.
I was like, but I see where you're going. I see where you're going with that, but yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like some of the places that I see pop up on your Instagram, and I think that sometimes this is like where the inspiration strikes, are places that I was like, oh man, now I gotta add that yeah. to the list. But I think there's some fun part of finding places that you like never even want to put on your list. Like that place for me is Houston, which I was telling everybody before. I used to go to Houston every single year, twice a year. Most of my family lives there. We would drive down from Dallas. It's a 4-hour drive. I would be like hyping myself up, like, okay, cool. We're going to like go to the mall and then we're going to go to the bowling alley and then we're going to hang
just
out.
Just like our trips
house.
Now.
Right. Like, you know, like it's going to be fun to see my family, but it's not going to like Houston's, you know, in my mind at that point was not like fun. Right. So I went as a result of doing a big Texas road trip right after I graduated from college. I was moving to New York, wanted to make sure I hit, you know, most of my state, like could confidently come into New York and be like, I am a Texan. I have been everywhere. And as part of kind of the loop that we were doing, we're stopping in Houston. So I was like, we only need a day. Like, let's not stay for very long. And my friend who I was traveling with is like a huge art nerd and was like, no, no, no. They have so many art museums. Let's stay. And I had so much fun. It was unreal. The art was amazing. There was never a day where we didn't, we were there for 2 or 3 days where we weren't like, oh, we should have stayed longer so we could do this. Oh, we should have stayed longer so we could do this. And now I have to like go back on all these terrible things that I used to say about Houston. Because it truly was like, it was so unexpected. It was a place that somebody else had added. It was somewhere I had been a million times for another reason.
How do you think you missed all of that before? I mean, I know you're going with family.
I think that's it. It's that like I never looked beyond what we, and I also had never had the choice, right? Like when I was traveling with my family, you do the things that your family is doing and like that's that. And we were in the minority. Most of the, like, you know, there are 4 of us and everyone else lives in Houston. So we didn't get to make the decisions. And I especially didn't get to make the decisions. So getting to plan my own trip and actually like figure it out, that there was this whole city behind, like, you know, beyond the places that we went every time that we were in town, the restaurants we went every time we were in town, which made sense because there was such a big group, and so we had to go to these places. But no, it was just like so magical in a way that like I had never expected, and now I want to go back to be able to actually experience all of that even further for more than 2 days without my family.
Did you see that GQ just did a massive feature on it?
The cocktail scene is incredible. The art scene, you can like go Rice University, which is in this like really cute neighborhood that's got all these little shops around it, has like a James Turrell sky space in the middle of campus that's mm-hmm. free that you just go and sit in, and it's like absolutely beautiful to go at sunset or sunrise. And I just think that for a city that's got the widest highway in the US, like there's so much more. There's so much incredible food. It's one of the most diverse cities in the US, which is also something that, especially when you're thinking about the South and Texas, like those sorts of mm-hmm. things don't usually go hand in hand. But mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the diversity of people are there. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the US. There's so many young people. Like it's just, it's got like all of the big things that you would want out of a city mm-hmm. and it's massive. So like you're not going to be at a loss yeah. for things to do, which I also think, especially when you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do there. When you have like so many options that you never even expected, it makes that place all the more interesting because you're like, wait, all this stuff exists here? I had no idea.
I think my Houston moment for America was probably Minneapolis. I went there on a story last year. Probably have not thought about that city more than 15 seconds in my entire life. And most of those 15 seconds were probably spent thinking about the Mall of America. So I really knew very little about it.
Prince,
that's true. Fine, 30 seconds. But then I got there and I was like, the food's amazing. The city is beautiful. I was there in July. I don't know what it'll be like in January and hope not to find out anytime soon. But it was beautiful, just natural beauty, but it had this really cool urban. It felt a lot like New York to me, which I would not have expected at all. Like a much more small scale, manageable New York. It was really diverse, which I was coming from Wyoming, so maybe my expectations were a bit skewed, but I was just very pleasantly surprised by what I saw there. And I really left thinking that if it wasn't for January, I probably would be happy to move there. So that was my Houston moment. That's, yeah.
Wow. Was this on your road trip around the U.S.?
Yeah, it was.
Everyone should definitely go to the New York Times and read Sarah's adventures in both country music and
we bonded a lot.
That was like the beginning of our friendship yeah. was me sending recommendations for her to play in this incredible road trip that she took through kind of middle America.
Well, thank you, publicist.
It was great. Just let me know if you need a hype woman. I'm around. Lale, where would you say was like one of your most unexpected best adventures?
Okay, so I was thinking long and hard about this, and it's tough because I actually, the city was somewhere that I was definitely like excited to visit, but it wasn't somewhere that I had like particularly amped myself up for because I was so excited about what was going to come after. So last time I went to Athens with the aim of then going, you know, it was like going to go to a Greek island after. So all I was thinking about was going to the Greek island, and I had a friend that was living in Athens, and I was like, oh, food will be delicious. I'll like hit up all the old stuff and like see my friend and
the old stuff
and then go to Hydra, this beautiful, beautiful island not too far from Athens. And of course I got there and realized it was like a really young, electrifying city that was so many more things than I realized. It's got an incredible art scene, an incredible food scene, great cocktail bars, and also just like an energy to it that mm-hmm. you get with a city that is emerging from being one thing and into another. And the whole reason why I got to experience that was because I was with my friend who speaks Greek and has been living there for a couple of years. And he's also one of those people that like is in a place for a few months and suddenly knows everyone and will get into like every party.
Those are the people you always need to hang out with.
Yeah. And he, you know, he took us to this neighborhood, which is, I'm going to butcher the name in Greek, so I'm just going to like not say it. But it's sort of known as the anarchist neighborhood. And it's allegedly like a police no-go zone in that there's been so many protests there, and it has this real kind of like Occupy feel to it, that there's like an agreement between the protesters and the police that they just like don't go there. But anyone else can. And it's like super creative and young. There's this big architecture school there that's covered in all this graffiti. It's this sort of mix of, like I said, artists, but also refugees who are living there and Greeks. And it's just like this real mishmash that is very unique, I think, to that corner of the world. And we had like this fantastic dinner. I mean, you like go into all the bodegas there and there's like all the newspapers are like socialist newspapers in Greek. My friend was like translating them all for us. And we also walked, it was something insane, like 12 miles that day. And Athens is pretty hilly. And we were just, he was just taking us to all these different neighborhoods and we'd like stop at one place and like eat some cheese. And then we'd like go somewhere else and drink some wine. And I think a real testament to how much Athens surprised me and how much I enjoyed it was that on the first night there, I got really bad food poisoning and was in this like bohemian, like fabulous bar where like all these like beautiful Greek people were like drinking and eating. And I was sat there and was suddenly like, oh my God, I have to find a toilet immediately. And the toilet was in a basement and there was a metal spiral staircase that you hit down and the toilet didn't have a lock. Oh my God, it was so terrible.
But you were out.
I was out. But I survived.
And you love it.
And I had a wonderful time, food poisoning aside. And the food poisoning I actually think was from Turkey.
I actually think that's like another of the type of reasons you go somewhere you don't plan to, is like if you're visiting a friend. And every single time I do one of those trips, like, you're like, oh, I'm, you know, sometimes if they're kind of out of the way or it's not somewhere you're going anyway, like when you finally go and then you're able to see this place through them and they're able to bring you into their scenes and the places they know. And like, those are always the best trips. Like they can turn any place into somewhere incredible.
Well, that's how, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, and I think I sound a bit of an asshole when I say it, but like, I never like understood Paris until I visited a friend who was living there.
And I will second that on like on Paris for me. Same exact thing. Like until I hung out with Jeremy, shout out to Jeremy, my friend's husband, who like literally just was like, don't speak English. I'll get you in. We're going to this restaurant. Mm-hmm. We're doing these things. Don't hang out with your friends. Like we're just going to go and do this like the real Parisian way. And again, like knew everyone, like we skipped every line. Like it was great. But the three times I'd been before that, I was like, this is super beautiful. But like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Again, maybe just because I was so overwhelmed. But I think that like it's the same thing. One, have a great friend. But also like that like live like a local sounds so cheesy and kind of gross. But I think that it gives you a different view into somewhere that maybe like either you didn't have a great experience with or you had such low expectations for.
Well, and I think it's also if you have like a friend who you trust and like you know that they know the place, you can kind of like give yourself up to them and you stop being like, I'm going to have the perfect Paris experience.
Okay, but my question for you guys is if you, when you have a friend in Paris, it's incredible, or in Athens or wherever, but like, how do you guys do that when you don't know someone? Like, I'm still figuring that out. Like when you go, I want to go to Paris and have that experience. I don't have any friends who live in Paris. I don't know of any friends of friends in Paris. Like, what do you do?
Well, I think I'm in the minority because I actually love Paris. The first time I went, I just walked around for 6 days and I wasn't on assignment, but I still researched as if I were going to be on assignment. But then I just still managed to go with the flow. It was a weird combination.
I'd also gone on like a high school trip the first time I went. And we like went to the Champs-Élysées and to like an underground shopping mall. And it was,
and that was
the
your
malls,
Paris.
The malls are just killing me.
I mean, for me, I only went for the first time in my life 2 years ago, which is very embarrassing to admit. But I just walked. And I feel like certain cities like that, you just walk and you just soak it in. And it doesn't matter if you eat at the best baguette place because every baguette is pretty damn good.
That's true.
I also think that like making sure you're not just going to the places that are like on the top 10 things to do in insert city here. Even if it's just, I'm going to go sit at the cafe that's next to my hotel. Factoring in time, we've talked about this before, like factoring in time to like just explore and not do like, okay, we're going to the Louvre and then we're going to this, gives you opportunity to either meet other people who are maybe French or maybe not or wherever you are, or who might just be visiting and might just be like really adventurous and great people to like link up with. But it also gives you like, again, time to just like sit, have like no expectations for your time, let go of this is going to be the perfect hour and just be like, I'm just gonna sit here and watch and see what happens. And sometimes those moments I feel like are also like the best entry point to start thinking that way.
It's kind of like the Paraguay, you know, of the trips. It's like I always want to walk places, and I think sometimes, you know, I'm like trying to get around quickly and I start taking, you know, Ubers or, you know, taxis or whatever. And when you like walk somewhere, it's always the things you see in between the Louvre and the restaurant that you Googled that is so much more interesting than either of those two places.
And I think it's also like not forcing yourself to do things for the sake of it. Like mm-hmm. on the trip where I like fell in love with Paris, I had like gotten up early to go to the Musée d'Orsay, and there was like this really, really long line, and it was raining, and I was standing in it, and then halfway through I was just like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, I could go get a coffee. And then had like a lovely, wonderful day, and like do not regret the fact that I've never been to the Louvre, and I'm totally fine with it.
No, well, for me in Paris, I stood in a long line, and this is going to be a very unpopular opinion and probably show off how uncultured I am, but I waited in a very long line for the Notre Dame. And when I got in, I was like, it's nice, but I wish I was doing other stuff instead. And I think one of my highlights was, and I love whenever I'm traveling to see where the immigrant communities are, because the food is always so good. Like yes. in Berlin, I had amazing Turkish food, and in Paris, I had... Like I grew up in Saudi Arabia. I'm a huge shawarma person, and I very rarely find good shawarmas, and I had an amazing shawarma in Paris. So I feel like doing things like that instead of just trying to see everything. And always kind of, with cities like that, you always also keep in mind that I can come back. Like, you don't need to knock everything off the list. I'll be back.
Well, and one of my, like, favorite memories, which I will never be able to recreate just because of the circumstances, is one of... like my favorite trips that I've ever taken, which was I was studying abroad and we ended up in Morocco. My friend and I were so sick of all the people that we were with that
That's
we decided
to live on a boat together for 6 months.
It's fair. I was on semester at sea and we had done like basically 2 months in Europe. And I was like, if I go see another cathedral, I am just going to lose it. And so my friend and I like picked up in our last, like the port before Morocco, a guidebook. Everyone else like planned, you know, trips to the Sahara, trips to Marrakesh. They were getting these huge riads together. It was like 10 people. And we were like, that is like the worst. Oh my gosh, we don't want to do that at all. So we ended up going, literally booked tickets day of to Rabat from Casablanca, got on the train and we're like, okay, cool. What are we going to do now? And went through the guidebook on like the hour long train. We're with none of our friends. We had no expectations because we had not planned absolutely anything. And we had such an amazing time because we winged it. We had to ask like strangers for help. We had to talk to them about where we should go. We had to figure out where we were staying like day of and roll up and be like, you got a room? We got money. And like figure out how to get on the bus to Chef Shaoan and then make it back and like make it back on the ship on time. And everyone else came back and they all had the same story. And we were like, again, like I can go have a Marrakesh experience later in my life. But like that trip of me and Katie zipping around together through Morocco, like, is never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And it was so great because it was just the two of us with no plans, not seeing all the things that everyone else was seeing. Mic drop. Mm-hmm.
We're done. Lesson learned.
No, but I think like that was such a special trip. And again, I was telling Sarah earlier, like if I go back to Morocco again, that's not going to be my experience. Yeah. It could be better. It could be different. It's just not going to be the same. And I think with these places that surprise you, sometimes you have to like go back in with the expectation that it's not going to be as amazing as it was last time to be able to recreate that love of that city.
I feel like that's what we're always trying to do when we go places, is like put ourselves somewhere so then exciting things can happen to us and we don't have to plan any of it. It's like just get somewhere and the things will start happening, you know?
Totally. Totally do.
Well, one thing I am interested to know is, you know, we touched on it for a second with Paris, but like what are those sort of, so in quotes, bucket list places that you thought were going to blow you away that didn't?
Well, I wasn't going to say this earlier because I already said one unpopular opinion, but I will say Morocco just didn't do it for me for some reason. I've been twice and both times I actually had an amazing time, but there's just something about it that I wasn't connecting with. And some parts, but like I was in Chef Shaoan 10 years ago before Instagram existed and actually was completely magical. And then Fez I really liked, but there's just something overall where I think the hype that it gets for me, just it never quite lived up to that. But I don't have any complaints either. Like, I had a good time both times. But yeah, sorry. I have no taste.
Do you have one, Lolly?
I do. It's quite unpopular. Well, you know what? It's not like I didn't like it.
But I would also say, like, that, like, in both of you saying, like, that it's unpopular, I think that sets all of us up. Like, everyone hyping these places up, like, already sets up Morocco or whatever, insert the place that Lolly's about to say here. But like, I think that is part of the reason why mm-hmm. we get all worked up about these places is because the hype is so big, and then you feel bad for saying that you didn't have the same experience as everyone else.
Okay, so I had very, very high expectations for Sydney. And I thought Sydney was going to blow me away. But I'm going to say it was also because I was 20 years old and did not know what I was doing. And like, I still really enjoyed it, but I'd just come from Melbourne that had so pleasantly surprised me with how cool and creative and like, I don't know, the food was great and it was just kind of exciting. And I think also it was smaller, and because I didn't know what I was doing, it was, I could tackle it more easily. And then with Sydney, like, I loved, but it was expensive. My credit card got frozen by my bank. So then I had like no money for 2 days. So like me and my friend were just like walking around the streets of Sydney, unable to like really do anything. And then what made it so special was that we got on a ferry to my godmother's house. Shout out Linda. Who's very
we're just name dropping.
She'll be very pleased.
She'll be very more of my friends.
She'll be very pleased that she was acknowledged on this podcast. At this place called Danger Island, which is like an hour. You get a train and then a ferry, and it's about an hour and a half outside of the city. And it was the most beautiful, tranquil, amazing place I've like ever been to. I like think about it all the time. I like tell everyone about it. And again, it was one of those places that like I would have never have gone if like someone hadn't like invited me to go there. And like, I'm desperate to go back to Sydney. I know I'm going to love it. But on that first time I went, it just didn't blow me. I just expected to be blown away. And I like wasn't blown away.
I know this is going to be unpopular with one person in this on this table. And we've talked about it before. But I...
Oh, I know exactly what's coming. Say
no,
it.
I was so excited for Rio. So freaking pumped. I was like, we're going to be at that beach. We're going to be hiking. Like, we're going to have a great time. But you know what? I did the exact opposite thing that I had done in Morocco. And we got a house with 10 people. Mm. And then it rained the whole time. Mm. So all of these things that we had had planned, all of this time we were going to spend together, like on the beach, chilling, exploring Rio, like got totally shut down. And then because we were a group of 10 and there's no leader in a group of 10, no one can agree on anything. I feel like we wasted our time, which meant that I didn't enjoy myself there.
So that's not Rio's fault.
I mean, it's like the rain in Rio's
fault. Okay, fine,
the weather. No, but I think like it's a mix of that. It was something that like, I think I mean, the fault like lies on me for overhyping it. I think I had like expectations of exactly what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. And that was like the biggest fault that I could, like the worst thing I could have done for anywhere, but mm-hmm. I think especially Rio, which is so sprawling and has like, I think it's really intimidating. And then mm-hmm. at that point we didn't have any plans, so we just sat. I went to the mall and watched. Oh,
which mall? It's a real question, Rio.
I don't remember, but we went and watched like some Hunger Games movie subtitled in English with all these like Brazilian teenagers. Which was in and of itself like kind of a hilarious experience. Yeah. But again, like you're in Rio, like,
yeah,
but that's still my mentality. Like you want to be doing stuff.
You have this picture of yourself on the beach and you're doing, yeah.
And like, I think that if I had had this like be in Brazil mentality and like not like be in Rio, yeah. It would have been different.
I think also that's a lesson that you learn when you get older, when you're in a big group situation like that and you suddenly realize
just
when you're older that you're
group situation like that.
Yeah. But if you do happen to be, say, by some terrible turn of events.
Because you're on a bachelorette party.
You can also just like escape and leave.
Yeah.
You can do what you did with your friend in Morocco. Like you can just...
And just like come back to the apartment at night. I think that that was the fatal decision.
Yeah. It always kills me when Meredith tells that story. I'm like, but I have so many ways I could fix that trip for you. But it's... I mean, that's the other thing is like, it is sometimes a lot of pressure when you're giving other people recommendations because there are so many places that are so close to my heart because of the time I had there that, like, with all these things we're talking about, like, will never be recreated. And I don't know, it's hard. Like, places are special to us for that. And, you know, it's that one random restaurant. Like, it wasn't special, but it was. And then you send someone there and they just don't get it.
Yeah.
They, like, don't understand why you like these sad old donuts or whatever it is.
You're like, why did that not change your life? What's wrong with you?
You know, and I think it's, like, on both parties' sides, like just knowing that it's so much of it is you can't recreate, but you can hope that, like, by having the different destinations to plot on your trip, then the magical things will happen in between and happen to you. I don't know.
What is your underrated?
Honestly, I think, well, this is kind of a different answer, but a place that I've had a very long and changing relationship with is Bangkok. I think people primed me to, like, you love it or you hate it. Like, the cooler people I know were like, oh, it's great. And they could see why, like, this gritty, crazy city was so interesting. But a lot of people told me, you know, when I was traveling, when I did a few trips to Southeast Asia, that, you know, it's everywhere else in Thailand is beautiful nature and more relaxed and, you know, land of smiles, as their slogan goes. And, you know, Bangkok's just crazy and someone's going to run over your foot and there's a rat running, like, across the street. And
that sounds like New York.
Yeah, I know. It's, like, exactly here. And they were just like, oh, and it's, like, it's just so insane and it's stressful. And, you know, when you could be on this beautiful beach in this private island and, like...
I like the voice change.
Yeah, I'm really trying to set the scene for you guys. And I think it's... I've been there, like, 10 times by now, just, like, in passing to other places. You know, anyone who's been to Southeast Asia knows you're always going through Bangkok. And, like, the first few times, I was like, oh, my God, another night in Bangkok. Like, what's going to happen to me this time? Like, how stressed am I going to be by the time I leave? And how many layers of grime am I going to have to, like, shower off each night? And the next time, you know, by, like, the third time, I was like, well, that's really good food. Like, you know, I'd get my foot run over by a tuk-tuk for some more of that food. And then each time, I was like, wow, I'm kind of craving, like, walking down one of those streets and having a million people screaming and all these crazy smells, and they're not all good, but they're all interesting. And, like, I think eventually I came to, like, be really in love with it. And I think, I don't know, that was somewhere that everyone who's been to Bangkok usually either has no opinion at all and doesn't care to talk about it or has a lot to say. And I'm one of the latter now. And I love it.
Reformed.
I feel like I'm a convert like that in a similar way for Johannesburg. I lived in Cape Town for a few years, and Cape Town is such an easy city to love.
And the rivalry is intense.
Yes. And I feel like I've always heard that, like, Joburg's a really cool city, but then the crime scared me away. Like, I don't know. I went there several times while I lived there, and it was literally my last trip before I moved back to the States. I was there on assignment reporting a story, and I finally was like, I get it. And I was like, why do I have to get it now, like 2 weeks before? Like, the timing was terrible. And I've been back once or twice since, too. And I think it's just, I can see why it takes a while. You have to kind of, like, Cape Town, you see why it's beautiful. The second you're in the plane touching down, you can't miss the beauty. Whereas Joburg, you sort of have to scratch away at the surface. And you have to know the right people to get you into the right scenes. But once you uncover it, it's amazing. And I'm sure you could speak to that a bit.
Well, no, I mean, I think that, so my mom lived in Johannesburg for a little bit. And, you know, we had a similar sort of mentality because most of our friends moved to Cape Town. So we would always go to Cape Town to see everybody. And only a few times have we been to Joburg. And it's one of those things where, you know, she will talk about Cape Town all the time and how incredible it is. And, like, I am, you know, advocate number one for it as well. But every time we go to Joburg, I'm like, oh, like, this is so great. And is, like, this rough and tumble cousin that you're, like, you still love because mm-hmm. they, like, are pretty dang cool. And yeah. You're like, okay, I want you, like, sometimes, and then I want, like, the really put together person the other times. And I think, like, both serve an awesome purpose for mm-hmm. getting to know the country mm-hmm. and just, like, how the country runs and works and all of its complicatedness.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, like, the perfect example of that is these two totally different cities that I think you have to, like, learn that you can love both yeah. because this, like, narrative is put out that you can only love one.
Yeah.
But they're both such special, totally different places.
Yeah.
But yeah, that point of, like, you know exactly what you're getting when you get to Cape Town.
Okay.
You have no idea what you're getting into when you get to Joburg.
No, and I feel like it's like there's some cities where you don't need to have an entry point. You don't need somebody. You can figure it out. Like, in my opinion, Paris is one of those where I'm sure it'd be great with a local, but without, it's also great. But then Joburg is one of those things that if you do have access to people on the ground that can show you some of the really cool neighborhoods, that makes all the difference. Whereas Cape Town, you can just go for a hike and fall in love.
And my pitch for if you don't know anyone in Joburg, because odds are, like, that is fewer and farther between if you're not a journalist, mm-hmm. Stay in an Airbnb where the host mm-hmm. is there. Mm-hmm. Because one, private rooms are actually so much less expensive and, like, more interesting. I know that for a lot of travelers, that feels like crossing too far into the couch surfing yeah. boundary. But I really think, like, if you want to talk to somebody, even if you're not going to hang out with that person the whole time that you're on your trip, like, just having an insider look into, like, okay, where should I actually go to eat? Like, where should I actually go out tonight? Where should I, like, what would you do if you were in my shoes? I think that that is a really good starting point staying in an Airbnb where the host is around in a private room?
You know, I actually did on a recent trip that answers my own question from earlier, is whenever I was in Sao Paulo in Brazil, and every time I was going somewhere and I was taking an Uber, I did an Uber pool. And I was like I kept being like, you know, I'm just spending time alone, like in the car. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to start doing pools. And, you know, maybe not everyone's going to speak English, but it'll be interesting. And that was like one of the highlights of the trip, because sure enough, especially in Brazil, everyone who got in the car had something to say, wanted to talk. Like, and it was so interesting because it just like, you're already in this environment that feels kind of open to conversation, and, you know, people realize you're not from there and they want to ask you questions. I'm like, it was so fun. And then I also like was, you know, would like the song I'd hear on the radio, and I'd like get out my Shazam and like be like, ooh, I'm getting such great music recs from the Uber. And like, that was so fun. I would do that anywhere I go now, is like do a pool instead so I can meet people.
When I think there are like all of these opportunities in this like sharing economy world that we like live in at this point, where you can go on like meetup.com and like go find people who live there that have similar interests as you, and you've already got like a starting point, even if you don't live there and you are just wanting to get new friends that will last a weekend, which are sometimes the best kind. But I think, yeah, like, you know, hopping in an Airbnb, hopping in an Uber, hanging out with strangers, even if like confidence wise you don't feel comfortable going up to some stranger at a bar, which is our other like sit at the bar,
sit at the bar alone,
just towards the bartender.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have many best friend bartenders. I don't even drink alcohol, but I'm friends with all the bartenders.
They'll chat to anyone.
Exactly. But I think just like putting yourself in a situation where like there is no power dynamic, like everyone's on the same playing field, sets you up for success as far as meeting people.
You and I will say with the Facebook group, something that makes me so excited to see is people will post in, you know, our Women Who Travel Facebook group being like, I'm in Paris this week, or I'm in Barcelona, I'm wherever, like, is anyone around? And it is incredible to see people respond who either live there and are like, yeah, I am, like, I'll take you to my favorite tapas place or whatever. Or, you know, other people have tips or they know someone, and like, and then you'll see the thread like a day later have a photo of like two women in front of this really famous place in that city. And it's really cool. And I think like before, you know, this group, like, might not have thought that the internet would have such wonderful things happening in it. But it's like in a group that's just for women, like, it feels safe to be like, I'm here, who wants to meet up? And it's nice to see people doing that and like having positive experiences.
That's amazing.
The internet can do good.
Who knows?
It really can.
Well, if you want to be a part of that, you should go onto Facebook and join Kindy Nast Travelers Women Who Travel group. It is so many members strong. And Megan is going to give you the best pitch right now for a meetup that is happening very soon. What's the sitch?
That's right. So actually, yeah, we've started doing like organized meetups because we realized that, you know, people are having fun meeting up around the world. And so Rachel Coleman, another moderator, and I, first we did one in New York, which we did with Meredith and Lale, which was really fun. And then we went to Chicago in July. And next month, we're going to, on September 13th, we'll be in Charleston. And we're actually going to do our third Women Who Travel meetup. And it's open to anyone. So if you go in the group, you can find the RSVP link. It's free. We'll have some good food. We'll have some good drinks. And you can meet other women who like what you like, which is travel.
Other women who travel.
And Megan, I think you actually have a second plug.
All right. Now that they've given me the mic. Well, another exciting thing is we're all, I don't know if anyone listening, you know, has been to South by Southwest or follows it, but obviously it's a very cool music festival. No.
Or lives in Austin.
Yes. Or anywhere nearby.
In
has
the
a
whole
car.
State of Texas.
Yeah.
America.
The world. Every March in Austin, there's, you know, the music festival South by Southwest. And at the beginning of it, they have panels where people speak on a bunch of different topics. And this year, there's a chance that all of us will be at South by Southwest speaking on a few different panels. One of them is a live podcast from Travelog, the other Condé Nast Traveler podcast. We'll have a few of speaking on different issues related to women who travel. So if you want to see us at South by Southwest, you can go to sxsw.com. Mm-hmm. Just visit South by Southwest website and you can type in Condé Nast Traveler and see the different panels we're going to be speaking on and vote for us before August 30th.
And Lale and I are super excited. We were there last year, recorded an awesome episode with a bunch of women who are working to save the ocean. You should go back and listen to it if you haven't already. But it's such an awesome time. The talks are so great. They actually all stream online afterwards too. So even if you can't go, if you want to hear from us talking about the things that we are going to talk about, if we make it to South By, you don't have to necessarily be at South By to be able to see us talk. So true. Vote for us if you want to hear us. We like talking. So
we have until August 30th to get as many votes as possible. So
exactly.
Help us.
Well, Megan, you are going to Columbia over Labor Day. Where can people find your adventure?
Yeah, you can follow me at Spirelli on Instagram.
And Sarah, you're always all over the place. And where can people find you?
At BySarahCon.
My favorite thing that Sarah does is have people guess where she is based on very limited clues. So if you want to play a really competitive game, you should definitely follow
and
her.
There's no prize whatsoever, but people get so into it. Like, they're Googling flight patterns. Like, it's insane. So you guys should join.
Play that.
I love it. Well, I'm at Oh Hey There Mayor.
And I'm at Lale Hannah.
You can read a bunch of stories that Sarah has written, that Megan has written, that Lale and I have written on cntraveler.com, and follow all
Shameless
of our...
Shameless plug, I interviewed Anthony from Queer Eye. It just went online.
Amazing.
Well, you can read that and a lot of other things. And you can also follow us at CN Traveler. Join the Women Who Travel Facebook group. We'd love to have you. And you'll hear from us next week.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.